Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. Last week I talked to you about cleaning up your mind, which is a monumental task. This morning I want to talk to you about building up your mind. How to fix your thinker. How to fix... People pay good money for what I'm about to show you. And I'm only going to touch the hem of the garment. I continue to learn so much. I just had to pull out, I ought to pull out three or four of these points. I already pulled out one of them, and I'm going to do it tonight. I'm going to talk about one of them tonight. How to fix your thoughts, how to fix the way you think. And there's a lot that we're going to try to talk about this morning. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, if you will. Romans chapter 8. Let's read that. Notice, Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and what? All right. So one way is leading to ruin, another way is leading to correction and a renewing of the mind and actual enjoyment of life itself. Now, I want to repeat that the human mind is an amazing thing. It's the place of all your thoughts. It is that hard drive in your computer, is your mind. It contains all of your memories. Like I said last week, if you think about it, you can remember a lot of things from years gone by. It's all in there, which is scary. It is a place where choices are weighed and decisions are made. It is the realm of dreams and where we design and create things that don't even yet exist. The mind. The Bible calls it our conscience. Our imagination. Usually the world refers to it as our intelligence, although I haven't had that proven to me yet. It is actually, your mind is your governor. It is what governs what you do. Your mind makes a choice. Your hand doesn't just reach out and slap somebody. Okay? Your feet don't just walk into the pub. Your mind is the governor. It decides what you do. And it is the place of our will. Now you can either build up, develop and expand your mind, or you can destroy it. And I believe a mind is a terrible thing to waste. It's up to you though. Now we know, we've been reading there in Romans 12, 2, it says that we need to renew our mind. And really, it doesn't mean that you do it once. But it is a constant renewal. If you have a phone, I remember the first mobile phone I bought. I mean, I think that battery lasted all of 4 hours. And I remember going into people's houses and you'd see over there in the kitchen a row of mobile phones all stacked up, getting charged all the time. Do you remember that? Well, let me just tell you, that's your mind, okay? You try to go days, weeks, months without this book and without God in all your thoughts, you're dead. You're spiritually dead. You're drained. You need to be recharged. And the question is, how do you renew your mind? How do you build it? How do you restore it and recharge it? You might ask the question, how do you learn to think differently? That's the point. I know how to think down. I know how to think dead. I know how to think low. I want to think differently. I want to think better. I want to think like Christ thought. Last week I told you how it all begins with cleaning the mind. All right, you buy a house, needs a good cleaning before it's sold, amen? And every day you need to get up, and the first thing you need to do is clean house, amen? But there's more. I want to talk to you about now that you know how to keep this mind, or at least you ought to know how to keep this mind clean, you need to build it. You need to build it. Now, the state of the modern mind is a scary thing to explore. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians 4, 4. Go to the right, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the modern mind is blind. It's blind to God and to spiritual things. It's blind to its own condition. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "In whom the god of this world hath blinded the..." Yeah. "He's blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." You know, a lot of people think they don't need God. They're blind to how much they need God. Secondly, the modern mind is seared. I'll show you what that means in a second. Go to 1 Timothy. Go to the right, find 1 Timothy. Let's look at just a few scriptures here. 1 Timothy. If you get to Hebrews, you've gone too far. Come back to 1 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 2. And look at verse 1, speaking of the last days where we are at. And I don't think men's minds, I don't think women's minds have been like this. I mean, honestly. 50 years ago, I know hard men. I know hard women. But folks, listen to me. There's a change that has happened over the last 50, 40, 30 years that is unnatural. I think women are harder than men today. Come on, nod your head. You know I'm right. There is a conscience that is gone in Western civilization. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times..." Hello, that's us. "Some shall depart from the faith." No interest in it. "Giving heed rather to" what? "Seducing spirits." What do you think of the word seductive? Is that a good or a bad thing? It's bad. "Seductive spirits. And doctrines of..." Not of different religions, but of devils. "Speaking lies," but acting like they're telling the truth, in hypocrisy. "Having" what? "Their conscience seared with a hot iron." I mean, it's like taking that iron that you use to iron out a shirt and just put it on your hand for 30 seconds. Okay, just hold it there. And the pain, and then the callousness, and then the inability to feel. That's what goes on in our conscience. It's burned out, past feeling, can't feel anything. Go to Colossians now. Go back to the left, find Colossians, just a few pages to Colossians chapter 2. Modern mind is not only blind and seared, it's spoiled. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Paul is warning Christians to not let anybody spoil them. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit." That's modern television advertising. "After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Not like Christ. So to be spoiled means to be ruined. You ever had a jug of milk in your fridge and you leave it there a little too long? It spoils, right? And people can spoil you and ruin you so you're no good to anybody. Amen? And a lot of people, listen, the mind that's inside of your skull, the devil wants, and his primary desire is to make you so you're unusable. He wants to ruin you. Spoiled. This is even a harder word. Go back to the left, find Romans chapter 1. Reprobate. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 is directed to the unsaved. It is impossible for a Christian to have a reprobate mind. But you need to realize that that is one of the, that's the state of the modern mind. I'll show you what this is. Romans chapter 1 and verse 28 says this. "And even as they did not like to," look what it says, "retain God in their knowledge." Oh, they moved on. "Oh, I was in Sunday school, but when I turned 15, I just decided I didn't need the Bible anymore." What? "Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And they become, look at verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, they're filled with maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debates, arguments, deceit, lies, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors now of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Listen, a reprobate mind is an empty mind. It's empty of any chance, any hope of being fixed. That is scary. It's filled with all unrighteousness. You know what's sad? It used to be that a man who lived away from God and ignored God and rejected God, it was about 40, 50, 60 years old, and then he was unreachable. It's when they're 19 now, when they're reprobate. Go off to college, and they sit in there, and they have their first dorm all-nighter with their buddies, and then again the next weekend, and then the next weekend, and then after 6 months, they're brain dead. That's the modern mind. And yet the university is saying, we're preparing the next generation. Reprobate. The modern mind is thin, superficial. They're unable to discuss and debate about anything. Just try and talk to them about the gospel. They can't handle it. You open the Bible, it's like you opened a bomb. Just unable to have a decent discussion with you. People will only yell and argue. The modern human mind just argues, just yells, cannot talk. The modern mind is in bondage. Most people are in bondage to their past. They're in bondage to sinful habits. They're in bondage to the lusts that swirl around inside their head. They're in bondage to their friends. The mind is in bondage. Titus, their mind is a sewer. Titus. Just for Hebrews again, you'll find a little book called Titus. 1 and 2 Timothy, and then Titus chapter 1 and verse 15. This is the modern mind. Realize it. It might be the guy next to you. Titus chapter 1, verse 15. Unto the pure, all things are pure. Couldn't offend them one bit. But unto them which are, what's the next word? Defiled, ruined. Unto them which are defiled is nothing. That are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. And even their mind and their conscience is defiled. It means it's ruined. It's like, I mean, if you're, I'm going to give you an illustration and you're just going to have to endure it. But if your toilet backed up and filled up your sitting room, how long would it be before you'd feel comfortable sitting in that room again? I mean, the smell, I don't care how well you cleaned it up. I don't care how beautiful it is. When that sewage came back and filled that room, it sort of does something to it. You just don't feel like the place, that's the place you want to go to anymore. And when the minds that we have are so filled with what I compare into sewage. Girls, you think about getting married, you listen to me. Sarah, Bethany, Laura, you guys just look at me and just dread what I'm about to say. But the guys you think you're in love with, you better remember that brain right now is connected to a sewer. That brain is looking at images and filling itself with thoughts and with lusts and with lives of people on late night television, on the internet, and you think they love you? Their minds are filled with sewers, as sewers. Amen. If you get a godly man, you better fight for him. If you get a man who will say, I'm not going down the path of the rest of the world. I may be boring, but my mind is clean. Amen. Amen. Sewer. That's the modern mind. And that's how we were when we came in, remember? There's not one of us who didn't have these problems. But I think the worst mind that is today is the unconcerned one. Apathetic, doesn't care about itself, doesn't care about God, doesn't care about, it's actually proud of ignorance of God, proud of their ability to live without a conscience. You look at these rioters going all over saying, Occupy Wall Street, take back, you know, we're the majority and all this stuff. And then look at them. You say, you can't judge them. I sure can. Look at how filthy they live. These aren't married families out there. God bless you. These aren't married couples bringing their children out there. There are people living together. There are people who are living in filth, and they have no conscience about it. They have no conscience. They have no conscience about the riots that they break out into. They have no conscience about what they end up doing with their bodies. I don't even want to go there. No wonder people can't handle. Hold there for a second. No wonder that people can't handle any time in the Bible. To them, it's like a sandblaster. Now, if a modern mind is going to be restored and repaired, it's going to have a miracle. Amen? And the blood of Jesus Christ is that miracle. You know, God gives us the gift of a sound mind, the Bible says. And he even shows us how to think with the mind of Christ. So, Father, I pray that you just teach us these things this morning, challenge us, correct us, and help us. So these minds don't just run amok and take us with it. Lord, give us back the courage to and the desire to want to have the mind of Christ and have an impact on this world for good. Lord, that we would walk with you and love you with all our mind, as much as with all our heart. God, I pray that you'd speak to every heart and meet the needs we're at, God. This wouldn't be something for everybody else, but one, every person in this room needs to hear what these words in this book say today. And if there's somebody who's not born again, let them realize the struggles they have and the battles they face and that they struggle with in their mind, they cannot conquer alone. The addictions, the drugs, the fighting, everything, all symptoms of a problem that's deep in their heart. And willpower won't fix it, but you can. Father, I pray that somebody in this room this morning would get saved, and that everyone in this room would get right and would say, God, helping me, I want my mind to think right things. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to say the first thing, if you are going to build up your mind, you're going to have to start with one Greek concept. Let's go to Philippians, because this is where we're going to spend our main time. Back to the left, a little few pages there. Philippians chapter 4, you're going to have to start with worship. And this is quite amazing. I debated and worked on all kinds of different outlines. It kept changing. And the Lord kept bringing me back here, and I went, look at that. When you found Philippians chapter 4, also found find Mark chapter 5, please. I'll show you something that we read last week, but maybe we didn't really pay attention to. Mark chapter 5 in your left hand. Philippians chapter 4 in verse 4 first. Now, like my mom taught, if she ever had to repeat something, it was serious. Amen. And if God ever has to repeat something, it is serious. Look at your Bible. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I repeat, I say what? Rejoice. Keep reading. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And look what happens. And the peace of God, which passeth all what? Some of you are struggling with, why this? How come that happened? You want something that'll surpass understanding. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, what do? Think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. There's a lot in those verses, but we're going to look verse by verse. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord, how often? Always. Now I want to show you something. He starts there, go to Mark chapter 5 in verse 6. Well, let's go back and look in verse 2. When he, Jesus, was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Here's the key verse. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and what? Now, is he fixed yet? No. But there's something that God wired into you that you need to use, and that is the ability to be in awe of God. We've taken away the awe of God, and people are in awe of a new Nintendo DS, or the awe of what does Microsoft make that? Xbox 360 with 500 gig hard drive and Wi-Fi. We're in awe of everything except God. And that young man whose life was ruined, his mind was ruined, his future was nothing. When he saw Jesus, the first thing he did was he worshiped. And there's something that you can do even when you can do nothing else. You can fall on your face and you can say, my God, my Lord, my Savior, I'm in awe of you. You can start there. Do you understand what I'm saying? You will always become like the God that you admire. Put it this way. You are what you think. Who and what do you think about all day long? What is it that you think about? Do you think about your problems? You're just going to create more. Job even said it. He said, that which I greatly feared has come upon me. Your fears can create your problems, can't they? What you think about will become your reality. You think about your enemies? Think about getting back? They become bigger than God. How about your friends? What they're doing, what they're getting away with, how they never get into trouble, and you're just wrapped up in your friends. What about your desires, your needs, and even your lusts? What do you think about all day long? Maybe it's your job or your work, your career. Do you know what you think about is what you become? What you become like? You know what the Bible says? Look unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Look unto Jesus. Consider him. If you're going to get your mind fixed where you don't go like this day after day and disaster after disaster. Actually, this is what we do. We go like this and then we're all running along the bottom, man. You're going to have to start with rejoicing. How are you going to do that? Walk with him. There's something that happens when you walk with Jesus, as they did in Luke chapter 24. They're downcast. We don't have time. As they're walking along, they're leaving Jerusalem. They're discouraged. They don't understand what happened to Jesus. Jesus had died, and now his body's been stolen, and they're very discouraged, and Jesus comes right alongside. And as he stood there with them, and as he spoke with them, what happens? They said, did not our heart burn within us? Listen, when you start to worship a living Savior, not a statue, not a picture, but the real, honest to true God who lives not only in him, but lives in you if you're born again. When you start to worship him, something happens inside your head. You get stronger. Walk with him. Did you know how many problems are fixed when you pray every day and you read your Bible every day? Do you know how many problems are fixed? We would put out 99% of all counselors out of a business. Amen. Amen. We'd put out of business all of these marriage counselors, all of these teen counselors. They have counselors for dogs. Fifi's got a complex. Good night, man. Walk with him, man. Get to know who he really is. You know why most people are upset at God? Because they don't know him. They were fed a false God. They were fed a God that would never let them fall, that would never let them have a disaster, who would never lead them into trials or into fiery furnaces. The God I read has the three Hebrew children thrown into the fiery furnace, has Daniel thrown into the den of lions, has the children of Israel left in Egypt for 400 years. You better read your Bible. But he never left them. God was their light and he was their strength and he was their protection. Get to know the real God. Most people have a plastic Jesus. He's just there. It's just plastic. It's not real. Read through your Bible. Cast all your care upon him. I'm going to talk about this more in a minute. Talk to him, will you? Most people don't know how to just talk to him. I mean, the disciples had the greatest privilege of all, and they never realized it till he was gone. They could talk to the God of the universe face to face. You can do it. You can talk through your disasters, through your trials, through your delights and your excitement. You can talk to him. So talk to him. That's called walking with him. Walk daily with him. And just start here. Just start with worship. Worship will do a lot to repair the damage from stress. Let's go to Exodus chapter 4. Show you something wonderful. Exodus chapter 4. Stress killing you? Exodus chapter 4, verse 29. Moses has just arrived. The children of Israel are under the oppression and in slavery to Egypt. Their lives are in torment and affliction. In verse 29, and Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders. This is before they've had any deliverance. Moses hasn't done a thing yet. He's just shown up. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses up on the mountain. And this is before he went to get the Ten Commandments. This is when God called Moses there. And Aaron did the signs in the sight of the people to say that God really was with him. And the people, what? Believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, before he ever did anything, when they heard that the Lord was there and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and did what? That was the first thing they did. That's the first thing you have to do. Everything that is opposite than what you want to do is what God will ask you to do. Amen. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, God says. And he says, when you feel like giving up is the time that you need to worship. Go to Job. Job. Chapter 1. In verse 14. Job chapter 1 and verse 14. You see, we make, Bill, you know what we do? We make worship and praise and joy a fruit. Okay? When God says no, make it your first thing you do, and believe me, at the end it'll only be better. But if you're waiting for everything to turn out right before you have joy, guess what? You're never going to have joy. Job chapter 1, I want to show you what happens to Job and what he does to begin to fix the situation. Job chapter 1 verse 14 says this. There came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. You lost your crops. You haven't seen your cattle. And while I was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and had carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the hardest words of all, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind. It wasn't even an army. It was a wind from the wilderness. And it smote the four corners of the house. And it imploded. It fell upon the young men. And they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose. And he rent his mantle, his outer garment. And he shaved his head, meaning he didn't use a razor. He cut his head, his hair. And he fell down upon the ground, and what did he do? What's the first thing he did? Talk to me. You find that easy? We're finding a biblical pattern to help us here. Your mind's breaking. Your mind's crushing under the load. What's the first thing you need to do? Talk to me. Worship. You know what the devil did? Jesus has gone 40 days without eating. He's there in the wilderness, and the devil says, look at all the kingdoms that are mine. All these will I give thee if thou wilt but fall down and worship me. You see, when you're not worshiping God, who are you ending up worshiping? So no wonder the devil keeps you discouraged all day and all night. He desires worship. It's time to rip it out of his hand and give worship back to God, even in the midst of abstract darkness. You want to get your mind fixed? Don't give in to the devil. Don't give in to the temptation to want to think disaster. Say, God, I worship. And it didn't fix his situation, but it kept him sane. Do you understand what I'm saying? Job was able, for the next 36 chapters, to carry on a debate, a very painful debate, with three good friends, inverted commas, because he worshiped. He would have collapsed. He wouldn't have been able to put three sentences together if he didn't start with worship. Are you listening? Worship is your beginning. You know, I read in the Bible, the majority of people there in the Bible, in the direst of needs and under incredible stress, they knew enough to come, like the Canaanite woman who came and worshiped Jesus. Just like the man on the cross next to Jesus, he said, Lord, isn't that a word of worship? Didn't just say, hey, Jesus. Hey, dude. He said, Lord, remember me. He's worshiping. And you better do that too. Secondly, I mean, if there's one thing we ought to be good at, it ought to be worshiping God. Amen? Secondly, refrain. That is not anybody in this room. Philippians 4:5 now. Go back to Philippians 4:5. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I repeat, rejoice. Philippians 4:5, the next verse goes on. It says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. First part, refrain. Now, he's talking about setting some limits. If you're going to change a fat, lazy slob into an Olympic athlete, guess what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to take the pizza away from him. You're going to have to take the remote out of his hand. You're going to have to get him to bed early. You're going to have to get him up early. You're going to have to work him. You're going to have to tell him he can't go out with the friends. He can't touch the drink. He can't overeat. He has to eat proper foods. You're going to have to put some controls on him, aren't you? Hey, what is true for your body is true for your mind. Amen. Set some limits on what you will and won't think about, just like you set limits on what you won't allow yourself to do. Moderation means having a limit. It's funny how everybody says, well, I drink in moderation. You're right. A moderate drinker, you know what the Bible says a moderate drinker is? A non-drinker. Drink aware is a joke. It ought to be drink not at all. Because the moment you drink, man takes drink, drink takes him. Alcoholic drink is not what a Christian mess is. If you get upset at me, fine. You're upset at God. The Bible says wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby will wine, champagne, a beer, will it deceive you? On the spot. The Bible's got to have some sort of grip on your life or you'll say moderation. Well, I only drink, I never get drunk. Ask your wife. You stinking, filthy, wicked liar. Well, I don't get drunk that often. See? You see? That's how we'll do it. Oh, well, I drink moderately. You didn't when you were 15, 16, 17. Now you know how far you can go. Did you know it's not right to learn your limit by sinning? Amen. Well, I only get on the internet till it's, you know, I only look at some pictures as long as I know I'm not going to get caught. Do you see how you'll go? Well, I'll only drink until I know I'm a little bit too far, until somebody says maybe you're too much. How about not drinking at all? That's moderation. Moderation means limited, refrained, under control. Amen. A moderate Christian, look at this. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Go back to the left a few pages. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3. A moderate Christian does not allow themselves a little pornography, a little covetousness, or a little murdering. Look at Ephesians 5, 3. But fornication, that's your pornography, and all uncleanness, that's stuff in your mind, all unclean thoughts, or covetousness. Let it be not once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather what should be part of our lives, part and parcel always in our life, giving of thanks. For ye know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Christ and of God. You mess with that, you're living like you're lost. Amen? If you mess with it, not that, well, I have it under control, Pastor. You can't have it under control. David couldn't have it under control. David could face off with a giant that was 12 feet tall, but he could not face off against a naked woman. You cannot resist it. You can't. And you cannot resist the drink when the friends are saying, I'll have one. Oh, here's another fag. Oh, here, why don't you just take this? Oh, it's not that bad. It's not that strong. Just say, moderate. Moderate doesn't mean, well, I'll take one a little. Moderate means none. That's what it means. It means I am under somebody's control, not yours. Refrain. If you want a sound mind, don't be lied to and deceived that you can mess with sin. Because the wages of sin is what? And death begins here before it ever hits here. Refrain. So start to ponder what you're allowing yourself to think about. Look at Zechariah. Go back to Matthew and then go left a little bit. I'll show you something here. Matthew and then you'll hit Malachi going left and then a book called Zechariah, chapter 7 and verse 10. Ponder what you allow yourself to think about so easily. Zechariah chapter 7 and verse 10. You start in verse 9, and thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother. Verse 10, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. What? Old Testament? I thought in the Old Testament we could plan their murder. Righteous indignation. Remember those words? Don't imagine any evil against anybody. What do you allow yourself to think about? 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, cast down every single imagination that does not belong there. Amen. You're in charge of what's inside your head. Amen. You let it in, or if it got in, you're responsible for getting it back out. Amen. Ponder what you think about. Do you sit there all day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? I quit, I quit, I quit, I quit, I quit. I hate life, I hate life, I hate. What are you doing? What are you doing? Somebody needs to say, I got to quit thinking about quitting. Amen. Don't let anything or anyone dominate your thoughts except the Lord Jesus Christ. Refrain. And repent. Remember that last half of that verse there? Go to Isaiah 55. Philippians chapter 4 verse 5 says, for the Lord is at hand. That's a little reminder of why we do things. We do things because time's about to wrap up. The Lord is at hand. He's right at the door, the Bible says. Isaiah 55. Go back to the left. Isaiah 55 and verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, this is so vital. Every thought that you think is private. Shouldn't say not private. Oh, every thought you think, comma, should have a comma there, is not private. And is not protected. You see, God expects you not only to repent of your actions, Brother Dennis. Not only to repent of the words that you say that are hurtful, but of the thoughts that you think. You see, we think, well, I'm safe. Nobody knows what I'm thinking. You are deluded. The Bible says every idle word that a man speaks shall be brought under judgment. The things that you think are the seeds of what you will do. That's why he says when you hate your brother in your heart, you are the same as a... when you see a woman and you look upon her to lust after her, it is what? Because what you think is what you're going to do. If you had the right conditions. So your thoughts are where God begins the judgment. You need to repent of that. It matters what you think. What you think. Take a good look at what's inside your mind and be very afraid. And really, we need to wrestle against it. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night. Now, when we first moved here to Ireland, I told you, we'd hear a noise, and I kept a baseball bat. I didn't have a hurley stick then. But I kept a baseball bat under, and I remember Nita was very, very good at jolting me out of sleep. There's somebody downstairs. And I mean like Superman. I was up, and I was going down those. No, I was saying, you go. But when you have the idea that somebody that doesn't belong in your house is downstairs rummaging around in your stuff and could find his way upstairs, you're determined to get him out, aren't you? Amen. I mean, I don't care what the law says. They're dying. Amen. You have stuff sneaking around inside your head that does not belong and is out there to destroy you. You better wrestle with it. You better take it on like you would a thief in your house. You wouldn't tolerate him. You wouldn't allow it. You wouldn't say, well, listen, just get it over with. And could you just be on your way? Wrestle against it, man. We need to be Christian wrestlers. Amen. Wrestling is, what have you allowed yourself to get into the habit of thinking about? It's that you need to repent. 2 Corinthians 10:5 gives you the impression about darkness, casting down imaginations and things that are against Christ. You need to wrestle against any dark thinking. Maybe stuff in your past. Some people, I would be afraid to ask, and I wouldn't be surprised, but I would be afraid to ask. I know that you wouldn't be honest, but I would be embarrassed, let me put that, to find out and to know that some of you are looking at the horoscopes on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whenever. That's witchcraft. That is wicked, and you wonder why your mind's a mess. Don't you tell me, well, it's just harmless fun. You're messing with your mind. You're messing with darkness. Well, it's just a bit of fun. It is not fun. Tarot cards are not fun. They are satanic. And you say, well, it's just, no, wrestle with it and say, it is wrong. I've got to repent of that stuff. If you got stuff in your background, I mean, you're struggling with pornography, you need to expose it. Because if you don't expose it and get it out there and talk to your wife about it, talk to your parents about it, teenagers, if you don't expose it, God will. And when he exposes it, you'll be very embarrassed. Amen. You know, your pastor's somebody you can talk to. Don't you miss the opportunity. You're struggling with something, I'll sit down with you. I mean, I love you. I'm here so that you can talk and say, this is what I'm struggling with. Amen. That's what I'm there for. That's what your parents are there for. That's what your wife and your husband are there for. Expose it. What about against reoccurring memories? I'm going to talk about this tonight. Philippians 3 says that we're to forget some things. Anything that somebody said to you that is not what God says. How about this? You're stupid. You're ugly. I'm looking at Jim. You're good for nothing. You're an accident. We didn't plan you. Anything that goes around inside of your head that contradicts what God says. God says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. God says that there are no accidents in his plan. God says that you are eternal and created in his image. Yes, you're marred, but you are in the image of God. Not in the image of some pond frog. Don't let anything that somebody has said contradict what God says. Amen? Repent of it. You've grown up saying, I'm no good. I never finish anything. I can never amount to anything. Read your Bible and go, those are lies. And repent of believing the lies. Amen? When I told you about my friends who talked me into jumping an 8-foot cavern, not cavern, a canyon, my dad made me say, you're never going with those friends again. You're forsaking those friends. Amen. And you need to look at the stuff that you used to believe and used to obey, and now you need to look at them and say, I'm never going down that path again. Confess it and forsake it. Wrestle against your memories. And wrestle against your feelings. Did you know, and I've said it before, did you know you... Any attitude that you are presently harboring that displeases God has to be repented of. See, well, it was only a little hate. It was only a little bad attitude. Let all anger and wrath and evil speaking and clamor, and one more, I forget what it is, with all malice, be put away from you, and be ye kind one to another. So you need to wrestle against stuff that's inside this head right now. Say this, keep yourself soft towards God and hard towards sin. Write that down. Keep yourself soft towards God and hard towards sin. That's what repentance does. Repentance is you humbling yourself saying, yeah, God, you're right, I'm sorry. I said it before this way, Christians ought to be the sorriest people on the planet. Meaning that we are always ready to repent. Next. Request. Go to Philippians 4:6. Go back to Philippians 4:6. So we've covered rejoicing, refraining, repenting. Philippians 4:6 says this. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What does careful mean? Should I be careful when I'm driving? Yes or no? Yes. Should I be careful when I have a chainsaw? Yeah. There are times you're supposed to be careful. But what kind of care is that talking about? Be careful for nothing is sort of take the word apart and swap, reverse it so that it says full of care, full of worry. Learn to pray a lot. I think my Bible says I can cast all my care upon Jesus. We need to learn how to pray about everything. Most Christians waste, they have such a huge carbon footprint. I'm not talking about your heat bill and your oil bill. I'm talking about how much energy you waste in here. You waste so much energy on worry and on fears that are not valid. Why pray? Why not pray when you are worrying? I believe that's the right way to worry. You can't stop worrying. Come on, moms, nod your head. You can't stop worrying, okay? Guys can compartmentalize. Haven't thought about that in the last 6 hours, amen? We just move on. But women, you can't stop worrying. So guess what you need to do? The right way to worry is to pray when you're worrying. Not give out. Let that sink in. Gentlemen, we are... Ooh, we're going to have a meeting now, amen. Praying is the right way to worry. Why not ask God for his help? You lose the keys, he knows where they are. You lose the kids, he knows where they are. Amen? Come on, it's the same thing. Ask for his grace. He says, my grace is sufficient. Why not ask for his help? Whew. You know what the Bible says? There's something God will give you, and it ain't money. But he'll give it and give it and give it till you can't hold it anymore. You know what it is? Wisdom. Wisdom. You don't know what to do? He says, I'll show you. Just ask. We waste so much energy because we don't. You have not. Why? Because we ask not. Praying is just asking. And it says prayer with supplication. Supplication is saying pray and then pray really hard. Supplication is to pray almost to the point of begging. Amen. Amen. And then he adds one last thing there. Starts back up to the beginning with thanksgiving. Make sure you're not down on the floor and giving up and crying out, I'm dead, I'm ruined, this is awful. No, just sit there and go, I'm glad you're there. I'm glad I can cast my care upon you. I'm glad I can trust in you with thanksgiving. Here's the point. Quit living and thinking like God is not there. When you pray, let me say it this way. When you pray, your mind gets organized. Something happens when you pray. Even when you don't know how to pray, something happens. And I'm not praying, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about repetitious prayers. I'm not talking about formal, fancy, well-formed prayers. I'm talking about the heart crying out and saying what you need and thinking it enough to get God's attention. And you walk away going, whew, I feel better. Because it does something to your mind, amen? We're talking about building the mind. And mind, the mind is built not with just PhDs in physics and chemistry. It's built on prayer. You pray a lot. Will you make your request known unto God? Most people are depressed, not because God is not there, not because God has grown weak, but because we live like he's not there. We've simply not gone to the throne of his grace and obtained the help that we needed. And like I said, praying is not repetitious words. It just needs to come from the heart. Take time to, before you pray, if you say, I struggle with prayer, write out a list. Never send a guy to the store without a list. We come back with everything. Our stomach tells us, get that and get this and get this. Never go to God without some sort of list, because you'll end up talking about everything. How about coming in with a list of needs? Fourthly, remind yourself. Philippians 4, verse 8, jump down there. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. We could look at all of these. I just want to glance at them for a second. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. I use the word remind here. There's some things that you just can never allow yourself to forget. Do you know there are some things that are true? You're holding one of them. Amen. What sort of things are true? You've got something true. Have you thought about it? Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. There's some things we need to make sure we never forget. Look at Paul's list. I mean, it's things that are real, things that are true, things that will not change, things that are honest. You say, nobody's honest. Well, welcome to the club. The Bible says all men are liars. You might as well get over it. Amen. God will never lie. Whatsoever things are honest. And when somebody is honest with you, thank him. Amen. Whatsoever things are just. It's nice when things work out right. Whatsoever things are pure. Man. Lovely. Of good report. You know what a bad report is, don't you? Somebody talking bad about you. Don't you ever listen to somebody who's given a bad report about Bill? I'll give the bad report about Bill, okay? No, listen to good reports. I want to hear what's going good in Bill's life, amen? If Bill's got a problem, he'll tell me about it. But if he tells you, don't you come tell me, amen? I don't want to hear a bad report. We're supposed to give good reports, amen? If there be any virtue, I mean, that's inner strength. If there be any praise, tell me something that you're thankful for. Think on these things. Remind yourself, constantly remind yourself of what God has done for you. Has he saved any of you? Has God done anything? Stop. Close your eyes right now and think back when you were born again. Can you do it? Can you close your eyes right now and say, I remember the place. I remember the time. I remember the feelings. I remember the smells. I was in a kitchen. I remember the cakes that I wanted to eat and he wouldn't shut up because he was giving me the gospel. I remember when the gospel became more important than my necessary food. And I remember where the fear of God gripped my heart. And I got out of my chair. And for the first time in 4 years, I wept. And I said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me. I remember it. And God did something for me. You need to remind yourself. I don't care if you do it every day. You need to remind yourself, I'm saved. This wretched sinner is going to heaven. Psalm 103 is a good chapter. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Forget not all his benefits. And he begins to list them. Has he given you a family? Given you a girl who's looking up to you? Looking for what kind of man she's going to marry? Watching your life? Watching a bunch of grandkids gathered around you, and you look around and you say, these are God's gift to me. I am God's gift to them. We better work this thing out so they turn out right. Amen. What has God done for you? Hey, why don't you just sit back and think about who God is? Last time I checked, he's the great I am. Not the I was. He's the God Almighty that Abraham was willing to follow to the ends of the earth. Amen. He's the God of the resurrection. Question is he your God? Why don't you take a step back and realize the high calling God in your life. Did you know whatever God has called you to do, it is a high calling? If it is to be the pastor of a church in Ballincollig, Ireland, it's a high calling. If it is to be a mom with four little kids and one on the way, three little kids and one on the way, and they just don't obey. They're just like their father. It is a high calling to be a mom. It is a high calling to be a servant. It is a high calling to be a Sunday school teacher. It is a high calling to be a husband. It is a high calling to be a music director. It is a high calling to work with teens. It is a high calling to fix tea and biscuits. It is a high calling to be a servant of the Most High God. Why don't you remind yourself, I'm doing great things. You need to remind yourself of the cost of sin in your life. Carnal mind is what? Death. But spiritually minded is life and peace. You need to be reminded sometimes, I go down that path and I'll pay. Hebrews 12:3 says, consider him who endured such great contradiction of sinners. How does it go? For the joy that was set before him endured the cross. I mean, you got to remember what he did for you. Just don't forget that Bible is there to remind us how much he loves us. One last thing I was thinking about. Hey, don't you forget he's coming back soon. Don't you dare get up in the morning and go, look out that window and go, there's a break in the clouds. I wonder if Jesus is coming back now. Amen. Every single day. Don't you wait for, well, they haven't implemented the chip in the hand yet. They don't have to. That happens after we're gone. All we look for is a shout. You better be ready. Remind yourself, he's coming again. Do you know, as a wicked person who does not like to be reminded of how good God is? Here's Philippians 4:8. It says, brethren, whatsoever things are true, just, I want to say this. Look at 1 Timothy 4:3. Go to the right, find 1 Timothy 4:3. This got me thinking. If you want to fix your brain, you need to constantly be reminding it things that are true and just and pure. But you're not going to do that if there's nothing in your head. If SpongeBob SquarePants is the only thing that burbles and gurgles in your head. And your Christian life is going to be a misery. 1 Timothy 4:13. Look at the Bible says this. 1 Corinthians 4:13. Till I come. And I think God allows the SpongeBob SquarePants just so that us preachers have a really good illustration of stupidity. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13 says, till I come. 1 Timothy 4:13. Give attendance. Give your attention to what? To reading. To exhortation. That's preaching. And to doctrine. But the first point there is reading. You know, Christianity is based upon a book. God chosen to communicate himself by handing us a book. It's not grounded in having visions or hearing voices inside our heads or in having mystical experiences, but in holding and reading a Bible. You know, reading strengthens the mind. It actually is one thing you can do all the time. You don't have to be in school. What they've made it is, they've made it so that it is a drudge, a chore. And so people don't like, to read. And the most important thing you can teach your kids next to obeying you is to read. It teaches how to think. It gives us an attention span. Hello? You ever talk to somebody? Oh, hi, Leo. How you doing? Oh, hi. Oh, yeah, you all right? Yeah, all right. Would you let go? I want to go on. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Attention span. We can't sit and talk. We say, how you doing? And you say, oh, not too bad. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear how bad your life is. Yeah, it better be good. Amen. But my point is, we really don't want to talk. But if you read, you learn to have an attention to details and to people. Reading. Television gets us addicted to images. It reduces our attention span to a flip, 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 50 times a second. Things got to be moving for me to have my attention. No wonder people constantly need stimulation. We have a nation of channel surfers. And so what we end up with is political apathy, moral indifference, and the pursuit of just the sensational. Our books are reduced to just entertainment. They don't teach us anything. The old problem was illiteracy. Modern problem is illiteracy. Do you know what illiteracy is? Illiteracy is that people can read but never do. That's terrible. So God commands his people to read. That means turn off your TV for 2 or 3 days out of the week. I'm doing it. That means no computers, no TV, no YouTube. So that you force yourself to read and to think. Make sure you read the right materials, though. I mean, hello, what are the women's magazines? Now. What are they? Come on, ladies, you know what they are. I'll rebuke you after I find out. What are they? Vanity. What else? I mean, entire racks of 50 magazines up there, all women's magazines. Those are not what you should be reading. Those are not. You shouldn't waste your time, man. Make sure you read the right materials. Start with the Bible. Great thoughts start there. You ought to read books that explore and teach you right things. You ought to read books that ask and answer questions. You ought to read books that delight, not entertain. You know the difference between delight and entertain? You ought to read a book that just opens your mind, that challenges you, that makes you think. Secondly, you need to read actively. Most people they pick up a book and it's kind of, they figure that it's like the TV. It's not doing anything. That's not how books work. You know how books work? You read. You think. You ask. You talk. Read actively. Listen to the words. Talk back. I've read books and I go, that is not right. I'm talking to the author. Or I'll say, amen. Because it's engaging. I write in my books. I have books in my library. Nobody else will want them because I messed them all up. Man, I underlined and I put stars and I crossed out stuff, man. I say, no. Write in your books. Learn from your reading. And read with the Bible as your light. Read anything. You know what a Bible believer does? A Bible believer will read anything. But that Bible judges what we read. Read in the light of this book. It's called a biblical worldview. Most people look and read the Bible with a worldly view, don't they? They go, well, that just doesn't make sense. Well, that's for the death penalty. Oh, that's against this. And oh, how come that's... You see, they're reading the Bible with the world's view. I'll read the world with the Bible's view. Do you see how it works? I can read anything. I can instantly go, that's not worth reading, because I do have something that teaches me what's good. Make sure you stay back here for a second. Make sure you read and stay reading your Bible, because a Bible reader is a sound thinker. Next one. That's tonight. Tonight I'm going to talk about how to forget. Do you know it's not possible to forget, not unless you have amnesia, you have brain damage. But I'm going to teach you how to forget. I'm going to teach you one neat little word that'll help you. Tonight I'm going to talk about how to release. And it says there in Philippians 3:13-14, it says, this one thing I do it all the time, forgetting those things which are behind. And it's a great illustration. Please come back tonight. You need to learn to release the past and release some failures. Last thought, rest. Back there in verse 7, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Not through your reading habits. Listen to me. Not through your faith. Not through... Listen. How are you going to have a sound mind? It'll be because Jesus Christ gives it to you. How are you going to get through a problem? Not because you have all your ducks in a row. Not because you have all the money you need in the bank. Not because of all of your children are obedient. Not because of anything you do. You're going to have to learn to trust God. Do you get what I just said? Because Job had everything right, and it all got pulled out from under him. And his only other thing he could do was trust. So rest. Christians need to rest, because when you've done everything else, you're going to have to leave it to God and trust that he's in control. Psalm 127, verse 1. Let's go there. Psalm 127. Got a few more verses, and we are done. Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house. Now, there were people who were trying to build their homes and trying to build their cities and trying to build their communities. But except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. What is the point? They can build, they can design, they can do incredible architecture, they can reinforce, they can build walls, they can instruct, they can start schools and universities, they can do everything. But if the Lord's not in it, it won't stand. Amen? Keep going. Except the Lord keep the city, protect the city. The watchman waketh but in vain. So it is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Look in Proverbs chapter 3. Oh no, Psalm 3. Psalm 3 and verse 5. I like this verse. David just says it's so amazing. You just want to look at it 3 or 4 times. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. You see, is that cool? I went to sleep, and I didn't know if I was going to wake up, and I woke up, and I realized God took care of me. Amen. Trust that God is in control. Rest is the absence of worry. Now, let me make this very clear. It is not that there are no problems to worry about. It's not that there are things that you shouldn't, that you don't have any things to worry about. But it is the decision to stop struggling and start trusting. That's what rest is. When the disciples were in the ship and it was sinking and the storm was raging and the waves were coming over, Jesus was sleeping and he rebuked them. Because they could not stop the storm. But they should have rested, saying, we're going to get through this. It is not that you don't have something to worry about. It is that you choose to stop struggling and trust in Christ. Only a Christian can rest. I mean, that's why people are on the drugs. That's why people are out at the pub. That's why people are out of their minds. It's because they don't know any rest. I found rest. Now, the proof of rest in your life is patience. The proof that you have the ability to rest is that you have the ability to wait. It's hard. Christians need to get back to trusting in the Lord. Be careful that you don't try and make sense of everything. I was going to take it to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, but just understand, Ecclesiastes says, Solomon says, I struggled to understand everything that was under the sun, and it burned me out. That's what Solomon was saying. You know what you need to learn? You can't figure it all. You're going to have to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Amen? Trust is something we're lacking. The Christian knows that there is a limit to what we can figure out, and he stops there, and then you choose, by faith, to replace worry with prayer and with praise. Why do I have to keep saying this over and over? Because we're not doing it. You need to replace talking with listening. I think that is, you're in Psalms, go to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. You know how I know you're trusting? You're not talking. Proverbs chapter 29. When you are worried, what do women do when they're worried? Come on, talk to me. They talk. Wow. Amen. Proverbs 29:11. That's not necessarily a fault, but there is a gauge that you can go, I'm actually starting to trust. I don't have to keep talking and worrying and expressing my fears. I can just trust in the Lord. Psalm, Proverbs 29 verse 11 says this, a fool, not that a wife is a fool, just understand what I'm saying. But a fool uttereth all his mind. Ooh, boy, that could be a lot. But a wise man keepeth it in until afterwards. That's a good verse. Replace talking with listening and praying. Replace boredom with a hobby. You know what Ecclesiastes 9:11 says? Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with your might. Do something, will you? Boredom in your life? You need to trust that, listen, I may not be able to, I may not be a job. Dana says this all the time. You don't have to have a job to work. Amen. And if you don't have a job, you ought to be busy. If you're just sitting there surfing on the TV, surfing on the internet, if you're surfing on your phone, you're going to crash and burn. Have a hobby. Have something to do. Replace boredom with a hobby. You need to choose by faith to replace rough memories with new ones. Amen. Got a rough life? I got a better one. It's what's ahead. You see, you're going to have to trust that your life may have been a mess, but it's in God's hands now. And replace hours and hours and hours in front of the TV with that book. And say, I'm just going to trust that by faith. Don't try to make sense of it all. Just let it clean you. Just let something jump out and then say, I've got something from God. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to love it. And I'm going to trust Him. And replace fears with faith and trust in God. Trust that God's in control and your mind is at rest. Now, there's so much more, but I want to look back at the results there. We saw that in Philippians 4:7 and verse 9. God gives us a peace that passes all understanding. Nobody can understand how come a Christian is at rest. Nobody can understand how come a Christian is not worried about the economy. But when you read the Bible and you get these truths, you're living proof that God gives a peace that passes all understanding. You'll end up with these principles, you'll end up with a clean conscience. You'll end up with a quiet home. How many would like that? Amen. You'll end up with a sound, healthy, active, fruitful, and productive mind. You'll end up with a blessed life. And probably the best of all, you'll end up with a kept heart. Well, keep your hearts. To keep means He will overshadow and He will defend your heart from being hurt like it used to be under the world and under attack. A heart that is kept under the lordship of Christ. And by way of conclusion, the human mind is an amazing thing. You can either build it up or destroy it. It's up to you. God says in Romans 12:2 that we need to constantly renew our mind. How do we do that? Especially if our minds are so messed up. You know, people who come into church and sit down to hear this stuff, I realize I'm dealing with an uphill battle, something that's almost impossible. But it works, doesn't it? We're living proof of it. Renew and rebuild your mind first by what? Rejoicing. Give me the other word, worship. Praise God, will you? Set some limits on not only what your hand, you say, well, you know, I won't go down that street anymore. That's where my favorite pub was. That's where I always found myself after work. I'm not going to, you have a limit on what you do. You need to have a limit on what you think now. I won't ever think about quitting. I won't ever think of letting my anger go for more than a day. I cannot allow myself to do what just comes natural. Because I won't allow myself to think what comes natural. By repenting. Keep yourself soft towards God and hard towards sin, man. That'll rebuild. You know why most of our minds are so messed up? Because we haven't confessed sin. We have so much unconfessed sin in our life. We have so much blockage. God can't work. Start praying about everything. Start reminding yourself of the great things of God in your life and of the promises. Peter calls it the precious promises. Be a reader. Most of you, if I asked you how many hours you spent in front of the television, you'd be embarrassed. Amen. Add up the hours in front of the television, in front of the internet. Add up those hours and say, if you had spent half of that time reading books, that's too embarrassing. It's too embarrassing to read a book. Struggle with it. Wrestle with it. Do it. And this nation will be blessed because some people have a sound mind again. We'll talk tonight about releasing some things. But resting. Let's stand. Let's bow in prayer.